Engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Hello, America. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, should you wish to be on the program, 877-973-7425. We got to spend some time talking about something I've highlighted repeatedly, but I finally decided I needed to go in and actually roll the tape on this. Because it's actually, I think, a really significant issue that is not getting attention in the mainstream media because it's about the mainstream media. And you know what? To start, and there's a method to my madness here. You'll just have to bear with me because I'm rendering some video that I want to play for you as well. But first, I'm going to go on and start Mike's phone call because, Mike, it's kind of relevant to what I'm talking about here. Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Eric?
I'm great.
Great. Yeah, I'm calling, you know, regarding the outcry from the mainstream media and the Democrats and at large and the left that are chastising the GOP and the Republicans and even the Trump campaign, that their rhetoric is what created Saturday and created this problem. And how is that different than the chastisement of people that say victims of sexual assault asked for this, you know, because of what they were wearing or how they were dressed or where they were, you know, and rightfully so, they lament that and chastise people for victim blaming, you know, in that thing. I don't see this as any different in, you know, what they're doing in this case against the GOP.
Yeah, look, they are victim blaming. They're victim blaming. They're victim shaming. They are. They're having a moment of outrage about rhetoric, but the fact that they can only point to people on the right and Donald Trump is kind of the most telling thing. They can't bring themselves to condemn the left's rhetoric because, they're on the side of the left. Now, to that point, one of the things that the media cannot cover is the media's own coverage of Donald Trump. And it's frankly shameful. And it's shameful because they have decided, in doing what they're doing, they've decided essentially to attack Donald Trump, say that Donald Trump is the reason for his own behavior, that he essentially gets what he deserves. And in that, they've got, it's kind of disgusting, frankly, the way, for example, Norm O'Donnell and others have attacked Republicans, demanding Republicans that somehow the GOP needs to be held accountable. And in fact, Kevin McCarthy was on and Norm O'Donnell was asking him about just Republican rhetoric and what would he say about this sort of rhetoric and the behaviors of Donald Trump. But what about MSNBC? MSNBC is owned by Comcast. And I say that because Comcast is not exactly some operative institution in the vast left-wing conspiracy. Comcast actually doesn't tend to be that far left, except Comcast has allowed MSNBC to exist. And in allowing MSNBC to exist in the way it has existed, They are essentially allowing a pro-assassination network to exist. It is notable that today they have taken Morning Joe off the air. This is the start of the Republican National Convention week. Donald Trump will announce his vice presidential candidate at any moment today. And Comcast thought it needed to take its profit center from that network off air. And the irony is that whether you like Morning Joe or not, it's the least problematic show on that network. But it has some problematic voices who appear on the network and on that show, like Michael Beschloss. Listen, this is part of the conversation from Michael Beschloss on MSNBC.
Yeah, and you know, we all know, all four of us know that term servant leadership.
Yep.
The president is supposed to be a servant leader,
yep,
serving us. You hear about Trump saying he's going to be a dictator for a day, which is not going to be for a day if it happens.
No.
Could be for the rest of our lifetimes and our children's and more. But if that happens, that's totally against American history. The highest rank in the United States is not president, it is citizen, as Harry Truman said.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say one thing. Remember, in the United States, we do not work for a president. A president works for us.
That's Michael Beschloss. But wait, there's Jen Psaki as well.
Trust me, I could go on and on and on. We all know by now that Trump's allusions to political violence are not merely rhetorical. His supporters take them literally. That's part of the big problem here. And he knows that, too. So, no, we did not miss the full context. This was not some meandering off-message comment. This is his message. As the Biden campaign put it, this is who Donald Trump is, a loser who gets beat by over 7 million votes and then, instead of appealing to a wider mainstream audience, doubles down on his threats of political violence.
Now, that, you know, she says they're not taking Trump out of context with his bloodshed remarks, bloodbath remarks. You know what his bloodbath remarks were about? That the auto industry would see jobs wiped out in a bloodbath by the Biden administration's EV regulations. That's what he meant. That was the actual context. But the media chose, the reporters, the journalists, the people who sit in the anchor chairs, they chose to claim that Donald Trump's use of the phrase bloodbath, which, by the way, you should note is a phrase that Joe Biden has also used about economic policy during Republican administrations, that somehow when Donald Trump used it, of course, wink, wink, nod, nod, it was a very, very violent tone. And then there's Nicole Wallace at MSNBC, who did an entire series on American autocracy. This is what would happen if Donald Trump got reelected.
I've seen that toast a bunch of times, but it landed very differently this year. Because depending on what happens in November, 7 months from right now, this time next year, I might not be sitting here. There might not be a White House Correspondents' Dinner or a free press. And while our democracy wouldn't exactly fall apart immediately without it, the real threat looms larger. A candidate with outward disdain, not just for a free press, but for all of our freedoms. And for the rule of law itself.
Now, she was wearing black, you should note, funeral black. She and Rachel Maddow, both wearing funeral black. She had on Rachel Maddow. Listen to this from Rachel Maddow. Very important.
Do you think we have to recognize, after Super Tuesday last night, after Mitch McConnell today, now with Nikki Haley out of the race, and now with the Republican appointees on the courts doing what they have done at the highest court in the land, I really think we need to get clear about the fact that the project of the Republican Party is to install a strongman form of government in the United States and get rid of democracy. And that is the project of electing Donald Trump. And that's what the Republican Party is for now. And so if you have been part of the Republican Party, you have to recognize that that's now the new project of your party. And you may need to leave that party now in order to work with the rest of Americans who disagree with you on a lot of different things, but who want our country to stay a democracy. And that, we're just in that extreme a place.
We're in that extreme a place where you've got to do something. You've got to stop Donald Trump. Or there's Michael Beschloss, one more from Michael Beschloss on MSNBC.
That's what's at issue. But what I'm saying is, if we allow Donald Trump to succeed in fuzzing these issues up and making it seem as if nothing important is at stake, then people whom you and I know love their rights, love democracy, love American history, most of it, will not act to save it. They'll just say there's no difference between Trump and Biden. So all I'm saying is you and I know we're totally agreed that, you know, from now until the election in November, we've all got to say the only issue is democracy versus dictatorship. Don't let them take it away.
Don't let them take it away. It's democracy versus dictatorship. You better do something to stop Donald Trump. In fact, as Donald Trump was being shot, this is the conversation that was happening on MSNBC.
Our president and our vice president. And so it's pretty overwhelming. I think what you heard from Representative Horsford, who is a great friend, is that majority black and brown communities are united behind the president. And we're seeing that these are communities that have a lot at stake. We're oftentimes the first to have programs cut. We know the attacks that Donald Trump is trying to make on immigrants and migrants. There is so much on the line in this November. Our attention is on defeating Donald Trump, a con man, a criminal, a traitor, and the absolute worst person.
A con man, a criminal, and a traitor. Literally, as that man is saying, con man, criminal, and traitor, there's a little box with the Donald Trump rally, and you can see Donald Trump getting shot as he's saying that on MSNBC. Grabian put together a larger montage, and I went through and cut out all the CNN clips so I can just focus on MSNBC. And it was really easy because there were hardly any clips from CNN in there. This is all of the commentary that has appeared on Comcast's assassination network called MSNBC.
You can't imagine the things that he's going to do. Mexico, Canada. We can't go to Canada because eventually Canada will become annexed to America.
And shoot visitors to the White House.
Yeah, that means he can shoot the First Lady.
We're going to see violence the likes of which we didn't even see on January 6th.
Make it illegal to run against him, to throw his opponents in jail, to shut down the media.
He will make himself into the Fuhrer, and he will make everybody raise their hand and salute him.
Using martial law against the American people.
Terminate the Constitution.
To rewrite the Constitution.
Create mass internment camps.
Throw everyone into Gitmo.
Might be sent to jail, or their rights might be suppressed, especially minority groups in society.
That's MSNBC. They've taken Morning Joe off the air today because they were afraid someone might say something intemperate and possibly pro-assassination. The whole network should be taken off air by Comcast for running an agitprop for assassination. These people have wanted Donald Trump assassinated. You can't tell me they haven't. In fact, the data backs it up. Floyd Lee Corkins was an MSNBC viewer. He attempted a mass assassination. James Hodgkinson was an MSNBC viewer. He attempted a mass assassination of Republican members of Congress. Nicholas, what's his name, Rouse, who attempted to assassinate Brett Kavanaugh, an MSNBC viewer. Roski, Nicholas Roski, MSNBC viewer. You got the three assassination attempts against public officials in this country in the last decade have been MSNBC viewers. I don't know about Thomas Matthew Crooks, the guy who tried to take out Donald Trump. The Democrats want you to know he was a registered Republican. Well, if you want to stop Donald Trump in a primary in Pennsylvania, you have to register as a Republican to vote against him. He also gave money to a progressive group. We're having a hard time finding out about Thomas Matthew Crooks, but what I do know is the incendiary rhetoric on MSNBC suggesting Donald Trump is the second coming of Hitler, who was going to put in concentration camps and internment camps in this country and round up people he disliked and dispose of them, and democracy was dead and dying and coming to an end if Donald Trump gets elected, if no one stops him because democracy versus dictatorship is on the ballot. That's a network that's been willing for someone to do exactly what Thomas Matthew Crooks did on Saturday in Pennsylvania, except he missed. And now they've taken off their profit center show because they were afraid someone on the show might lament that the guy missed. Comcast has bigger problems than Morning Joe, which is actually the most reasonable, fair-minded show on the network. I suspect they took it off because they wanted to signal to the rest of the network, if we can do this to the big dog, we can do this to the rest of you. Watch out. And yet, they're not going to. These people have internalized. They believe Donald Trump's a threat to democracy. You can't come back from that with that network. There are huge problems at MSNBC.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. I want to go to John's phone call, calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Eric. Good afternoon. Hey, real quick. It seems that Biden's comments Saturday evening and again his Oval Office address yesterday, he's essentially, is he not, acknowledging that the rhetoric on the left led to the assassination attempt? It seems as if it really is a mea culpa in a strange kind of way. Your opinion on that?
Yeah, in a strange kind of way, it is. You're right. He very much is acknowledging that things have gotten too heated, and this puts him in a very difficult position, frankly. And I actually want to talk about this when we come back, because his entire campaign is premised on democracy is on the line. And if democracy is on the line because Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, then what are you going to do? And now he can't really say that after the guy nearly got shot and Biden's kind of acknowledging rhetoric from the left was involved. This is Scott Jennings from CNN on this point last night.
Yeah, I think he got the platitudes right. Here's where I thought it was lacking. He said the political rhetoric's gotten too hot and we got to cool it down. And what I wanted him to say was, and you know what that means to me too. Donald Trump is a genuine threat to this nation. He's a threat to our freedom. He's a threat to our democracy. He's literally, literally a threat to everything America stands for. And a few days later, it's time to put Donald Trump in the bullseye. Yep. Now, if the President of the United States had said, I bear some responsibility here, and I'm going to do my part, this would have been a home run. He didn't do that. Instead, he spread it all around, which I guess is as far as he's willing to go.
It's a great point from Scott Jennings. It's a great point. He could have taken ownership of some of his own rhetoric. He even left out in his list of litanies the attempted assassination of Steve Scalise and Brett Kavanaugh. We got to move on, though. Between banking collapses with hundreds more teetering on the brink, regulators fighting what seems like an unwinnable war, we're not sure about interest rates, all these sorts of things, and 22-year high interest rates, Swiss America wants to help you protect your hard-earned assets. They've been sounding the alarm about a secret war on cash for some time. And if you're interested in safeguarding your hard-earned cash from this war on cash, you need their free report. They're rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau, and they can educate you on protecting your hard-earned assets. The report only takes about 15 minutes to read, and it can help you save your retirement finances. You can get a free copy of it, completely free. All you have to do is mention my name, Eric, when you call or text 800-289-2646. The All-Out War on Cash includes digital forms of currency. It's growing, so read the Secret War on Cash report. It is completely free. Just mention Eric when you call or text 800-289-2646. 800-289-2646. You can also go to SwissAmerica.com/Eric today. Or just call them or text my name to 800-289-2646. Let Swiss America help you. Message and data rates may apply.
You're listening to the Eric Erickson Show.
Greetings. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, I would absolutely love to have you with me. Now, we got to move on to something we haven't really talked about today. There's just no way to say this without it being crass. So I'm going to apologize in advance if you're offended by me saying it this way. But Joe Biden benefited from the guy attempting to kill Donald Trump this weekend. Because Nancy Pelosi, we now know, has been working the phones for a week trying to build unity to push Joe Biden out. Politico is reporting that behind the scenes, Pelosi has been working the phones with members of Congress and with donors, recognizing that Joe Biden cannot stay in office in his position because he will lose to Donald Trump. And all of that now comes to an end. All of that now comes to an end for Joe Biden because they've run out the clock. He had a pretty good NATO press conference. He was very leaderly on Saturday night, as far as Democrats are concerned. He gave up his trip early and went back to the White House before he went to bed. He was briefed by his national security team on the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. He addressed the country twice on Sunday. He rallied national security. He reached out to Donald Trump, calling him by his name. They had a cordial conversation. He's filled in members of Congress, including Republican leaders in the House, about what's happening. And now we're at the RNC, and Donald Trump today is going to name his VP pick. And after announcing his VP pick, you're going to have a Tucker Carlson address on Wednesday night at the RNC. On Thursday, you're going to have Donald Trump's address. It's going to be a unify the nation, support democracy. The Democrats really going to suddenly throw Joe Biden overboard in the name of protecting democracy? I don't know that they can get away with that. This helped Joe Biden. It bought him time. It made him appear leaderly. This is Robert Costa on Sunday on Face the Nation.
I've been speaking with some top Democrats. They believe that those Democrats who have the concerns about President Biden are now standing down politically, will back President Biden because of this fragile political moment. All of that talk about the debate faded almost instantly among my top Democratic sources as this unfolded, say it's time for the country to stick together, and that means Democrats sticking together as well.
And there's something else for Joe Biden. The polling has stayed relatively close. Trump's up one now in the Fox News poll. He's up two in the NBC poll. Biden is up two in the NPR Marist poll. Internal polling, you should note, Democrats' internal polling has Biden doing worse than the public polling. That's why they're panicked. The internal deep dive polling has Biden not doing very well, but in the public polling that Biden can see and digest and that is his team is giving to him, he's doing okay. Fox, Trump up one. Now, I want to see here. Let's see. Fox News, in their last poll, Biden was up two. In the poll before that, Trump was up one. In the poll before that, Trump was up five. So you had Trump up 4-4-2-5-1, Biden up two, Trump up one. Maybe he's going back up. Trump's ahead in the swing states, in the battlegrounds, in the polling averages. Trump's doing well. In Pennsylvania, Trump's up 4.8 in the polling average. Wisconsin up 2.6. North Carolina, 5.8. Nevada, 5.2. For a Republican in Nevada, you need to be about 5 points ahead to actually win the state. Michigan, Trump up 1.2. Georgia, Trump up 4. Arizona, Trump up 5.4. That's the polling average. Not the individual polls, that's the polling average. This helps Joe Biden stay in place and provides him a path forward, but there's a problem for Democrats as well. There's increasing belief among Democratic Party leaders in the White House and in Congress, that Joe Biden can't win now. And in fact, none of them can win now. There has been a psychologically shattering moment for Democrats as they assess their path forward. The Democrats were in unity up until Joe Biden walked out on that stage on June 27th, and it was the Republicans who were divided. And now, afterwards, it's the Republicans united. This is from Axios. Democratic leaders say their immediate focus is on their personal security and that of their staffs, not on the party's political woes, helping to allow a crucial cooldown period for the embattled president. Biden was engaged in a high-stakes outreach campaign to Capitol Hill in the hours leading up to the shooting at Trump's rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, which left the bystander and the shooter dead. in a Face the Nation interview on Sunday morning after having harsh words with Joe Biden on a private call. Representative Jason Crow of Colorado largely pulled his punches despite Biden shouting at him on the New Democrats call after he asked about eroding public confidence in the president's leadership. Representative Dean Phillips, who ran a primary campaign against Biden based on concern over the president's age, suggested he's sticking to a strategic post-debate silence about Biden's candidacy. An American is dead, a former president and others are wounded, and a shell-shocked country is left wondering how to restore reason and respect. He told Axios it would be unpatriotic and unprincipled to direct energy to anything other than yesterday's national tragedy. A second senior House Democrat told Axios that the Trump shooting has taken some of the heat off because it would be bad form to make statements against President Biden. Most lawmakers who spoke to Axios says it's too early to say whether the cessation and tensions will last through the Democratic National Convention. But a second senior House Democrat offered one reason for why it might. We've all resigned ourselves to a second Trump presidency. Someone within the White House as well is on the record saying they're not sure how to stop Donald Trump after the assassination attempt. There's a dog that didn't bark. You know, this is from a Sherlock Holmes, I forget which one of the Sherlock Holmes stories, but essentially Holmes recognizes who must be the culprit because a dog didn't bark. The dog barked at everyone he didn't know, but the dog was friendly with one particular person and didn't bark. So that person must have been responsible because the dog didn't bark. It's a telltale thing when you expect something and you don't hear it. And what people expected and did not hear over the last couple of weeks were ringing endorsements about Kamala Harris. The fact that a lot of Democratic leaders instead want an open convention instead of Kamala Harris, the chaos of an open convention instead of Kamala Harris, is pretty much an admission against interest. They think she's a terrible candidate. The fact is now it appears they're going to stay with Joe Biden and they don't have much of a choice. He was able to run out the clock. The problem for Joe Biden is this. You can get through the Democratic convention, consolidate support, get the delegates, get the nomination, and then say, I'm out. I can't run for re-election. And that automatically makes Kamala Harris the nominee under the rules. The problem for Joe Biden is that people aren't going to suspend their desire to get him out of the race. Democrats can't unsee what they saw on that debate stage and the subsequent getting Zelensky confused with Putin and saying Vice President Trump. They can't unsee that. No one can. So the conversations about what to do with him and can they get him out of the race, they're going to continue. You get to the next debate. Let's say he has a bad next debate in September. That's the next debate schedule. Let's say he has a bad debate. I doubt it'll be as bad as it was. Surely they're going to change things so he has a good debate. But let's say he has a bad debate in September. Do you really think the calls are going to go away? Early voting won't have started yet. Get him out. Let Kamala be the nominee. Do you really think so? This is a problem for Biden and the Democrats long term. But in the short term, Biden did what he had to do the other night. It wasn't the greatest speech, but he did what he had to do. But he also, well, tried to say ballot box and instead said battle box.
And in America, we resolve our differences at the battle box. Now, that's how we do it, at the battle box, not with bullets.
He meant ballot box. We all know what he meant. But the fact that after an assassination attempt on Donald Trump and his call for calm, he's saying, we settle our differences in the battle box. Bring on Gladiator 2. Denzel Washington's coming. But, you know, there was this as well.
I was speaking tonight about the need for us to lower the temperature in our politics. And to remember, while we may disagree, we are not enemies. We're neighbors. We're friends, co-workers, citizens. And most importantly, we are fellow Americans. We must stand together. Yesterday's shooting at Donald Trump's rally in Pennsylvania calls on all of us to take a step back. Take stock of where we are, how we go forward from here. Thankfully, Former Trump is not seriously injured. I spoke to him last night. I'm grateful. He's doing well, and Jill and I keep him and his family in our prayers. We also extend our deepest condolences to the family of the victims who was killed. Corey was a husband, a father, a volunteer firefighter, a hero, sheltering his family from those bullets. We should all hold his family and all those injured in our prayers. Earlier today, I spoke about an ongoing investigation.
And he's going to continue the investigation. Listen. Listen. I'm not going to attack Joe Biden for his speech last night. A lot of people have. Yeah, I agree with Scott Jennings. Had Joe Biden acknowledged his own rhetoric from just 48 hours before, his rhetoric on the day Donald Trump was nearly assassinated, which was over the top, Donald Trump must be stopped, he's a threat to democracy, our country will end, that sort of stuff. I'm not going to expect a guy like Joe Biden to do that, though. The reality is both sides do this. Don't tell me both sides don't do this. Here's my problem. You know who's to blame for the assassination attempt on Donald Trump? The would-be assassin who's dead. Not Joe Biden, not MSNBC, not CNN, not Donald Trump, not Republican rhetoric or Democratic rhetoric. The would-be assassin is to blame. And don't tell me that people on the right don't lash out and do things. When Donald Trump came after me in 2016 for not supporting him, we had people show up at my house to threaten my family. My son was beat up on a playground. My daughter was given a guide to commit suicide at our church's school. My wife was harassed at our church because I said I wouldn't support Donald Trump. I know this happens on the right. But here's the problem. Whenever these things happen, the media always wants to lecture us on the right. They never want to talk about the left-wing rhetoric. They never want to talk about the left-wing. I fully acknowledge there are people on the right who go nuts and have done terrible things, but the people in the media never acknowledge the left. They can't acknowledge their own reporters have been wishcasting for Donald Trump's assassination. They cannot do this. I would be okay with the whole both sides things if they were honest about the left, and they're not. Literally this weekend, the same day that Donald Trump was nearly assassinated, progressive activists went into a Jewish neighborhood in New York and were beating up Jews in the streets. I'm not making that up. That actually happened. You haven't heard a lot of press coverage of it, but it happened. Where's the left-wing outrage about that? Where's the Democratic outrage about that? Remember the president of the United States, when Jews were harassed at a synagogue by progressive activists, would not address the nation to condemn it. Both sides need to tone it down and cool off. What infuriates me, though, is that the media constantly jumps to rhetoric about the right and never the left and never about its own people. Who's to blame for trying to assassinate Donald Trump, the assassin who is now dead? But the media's standard is to say it's about rhetoric and temperatures need to cool down, and it's just remarkable that they only want the right to cool down. They never, ever hold the left accountable, and that I find appalling. I'm going to take the president at his word. He wants to cool it down. We'll see if he actually means it or not. It would have been great had he held himself responsible for his rhetoric, regardless. Yeah. But also hold the left responsible for their rhetoric too, please. Now, we got to air purify the situation with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. It generates O3 to wipe out molecules. They can't hide from it, and you can get three of them for less than $200. You save $200 at EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is ERIC3, E-R-I-C-K-3. You go to EdenPureDeals.com, and then you put in the discount code ERIC3. You get three Eden Pure Thunderstorms. They wipe out odors, litter box odors, pet odors, dirty diaper odors, musty odors, you name it. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm eliminates those odors. It does a great job. You get three of them for less than $200. You save $200. You get one for your upstairs, your downstairs, your basement, your RV, your travel bag, wherever you need them, that you can hold it in your hand. You can use a USB cord to power it or plug it into the wall. It will wipe out odors. It uses ozone and it eliminates the odors. Cannot hide from it. It takes them out. Get three of them for less than $200. Save $200. EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is ERIC3, E-R-I-C-K-3.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday.
join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. I want to play you some audio because we're very used to cynical politicians, and he's not on my side, and I do not, I don't share his politics. But Governor Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania, you could tell that he meant what he said yesterday, or yes, yesterday.
We lost a fellow Pennsylvanian last night, Corey Comparator. I just spoke to Corey's wife and Corey's two daughters. Corey was a girl dad. Corey was a firefighter. Corey went to church every Sunday. Corey loved his community. And most especially, Corey loved his family. Corey was an avid supporter of the former president and was so excited to be there last night with him in the community. I asked Corey's wife if it would be okay for me to share that we spoke. She said yes. She also asked that I share with all of you that Corey died a hero, that Corey dove on his family to protect them last night at this rally. Corey was the very best of us. May his memory be a blessing.
I don't care about a politician's politics at times like this. I care if they mean what they say, and Shapiro is a partisan progressive Democrat who has gone out of his way not to vilify Republicans in his state. He has not called Donald Trump a threat to democracy, things like that. And so I take him at his word and wish we had more politicians who could be sincere like that. Now, I sincerely want to drive you to OmahaSteaks.com today for their Hotter Than Fire grill pack. Y'all, it is $99 and check out promo code Eric, E-R-I-C-K. You save $10, and it's a great deal for the summer grilling season. It is hot outside. People are going to be grilling outside. I was grilling yesterday. You can get great New York strips from OmahaSteaks.com. You can get bacon-wrapped fillets. You can get caramel apple tarts. You can get so much more. Sides, desserts, main courses, steaks, seafood, you name it, OmahaSteaks.com. Load up your cart, minimum order required. You put in your promo code Eric at checkout. You're going to save $10. You should try. If you're overwhelmed by the site selection, just get the Hotter Than Fire grill pack. It's $99. You save a lot of money. You get $10 off when you put my name in at checkout, and you get 100% satisfaction guarantee. It's just a great deal at OmahaSteaks.com. OmahaSteaks.com at checkout. Use promo code Eric, E-R-I-C-K. You will save yourself some money and get great food in the process.